under advisement. We move to the second case this morning, which is U.S. versus Burgess.
Was he appointed?
Oh, Mr. Levine, you were appointed to this case, were you not?
I was.
And again, we thank you for your representation and your personal insight into the case as well. Thank you. Mr. Gibbons?
May it please the Court, my name is Thomas Gibbons. I represent the defendant, appellant, in this case. Our sole argument on appeal is that the police were operating on a mere hunch when they stopped the vehicle the defendant was driving in, rather than having any specific and articulable facts to justify the stop of the defendant's car. It's an oft-times litigated issue before this court, but it's the defendant's opinion that in this case the district court erred in finding that the facts were there. All that the court had to go on, or I'm sorry, that the officers had to go on was that the vehicle involved, allegedly involved, was black in color, which is a ubiquitous color, and that alone is not sufficient grounds to justify the stop of the car.
Well, shooting late at night or late, like 10:45, something like that, Sunday evening, in a residential area, it would not be unreasonable for the police to make a quick effort to try to capture the shooters.
Well,
the shooter?
There's a number of problems with that in this case. Number one, the police did not know. They did not hear any shots fired. They didn't know. It was clear from their testimony.
They didn't hear shots fired, but they had multiple reports of shots fired.
They had multiple reports
police
of shots.
Police can act on that kind of information.
Of course, heaven
help us if they can't, right?
Well, of course they can act on it.
Right.
The problem is, first of all, the district court judge did not find testimony of the police officers to be credible for the most part. The only thing that he took from their testimony is that there was light traffic that night. So that's number one. But number two, even if you look at just the dispatch reports in this case, it's clear that it's the officers didn't know where the shots came from. They testified they didn't know where the shots came from. They did not. The calls, the majority of them, were from a location which was 1.1 miles away, but more importantly was 12 city streets away. It was five streets south of where the vehicle was stopped. It was seven or eight streets west of where, or east of where the vehicle was stopped. It was two traffic lights from where the vehicle was stopped. That might have some impact, 1.1 miles, if this was a rural area or a small town, but this is a major metropolitan area in the city of Chicago. The car was traveling on a through street. The officers testified it was a major artery. The only thing that drew their attention to it is that it was black. And what is very significant here is that the dispatcher reported...
It was black and it was minutes, less than 5 minutes maybe, three minutes from the shooting.
It was a short period of time.
So they've got that as well.
They have that as well, but that's really all they have. And the last report was that the car was heading southbound. These guys were heading northbound, and they were, seven or eight blocks or a mile north of the vicinity where this happened. And the other interesting thing about this case is, unlike the case decided by the district court, the officers didn't see the car fleeing the scene. They didn't see the car leaving a specific location. I mean, this car was just traveling down the street. There was nothing to draw attention to it other than the fact that it was a black car. And the district court made reference to the fact this was a serious offense. I'm not saying that it isn't. I think it's a Class 3 felony under Illinois law to discharge a weapon in Chicago. There's nothing to indicate they were shooting at a specific person. The law now is that a person can carry a weapon in Chicago, so the crime is shooting the gun, not to mitigate the seriousness of it. But this car, when the officers saw it, was doing nothing. It wasn't fleeing. It wasn't speeding. Contrary to what they testified to, the district court found there were no furtive gestures. In spite of that, the police took it upon themselves to pull the car over with guns drawn and confront these occupants of this car.
As I understand it, your challenge is to the stop itself, not the reasonableness of the search.
No, that's correct. We're just challenging the stop itself, not the reasonableness of the search. But I think that when you consider the conduct of the officers, the way they conducted the stop, it was Gestapo tactics in approaching the car.
That sounds like a different argument than you made below. I thought your argument below was a challenge to the stop itself.
I'm not arguing the reasonableness of the officer's conduct.
Then why are you talking about it?
The
Gestapo tactics.
Because I think when you balance police conduct in stopping citizens in the street and the basis for doing so, we're factoring in the rights of citizens to be left alone. Which is certainly, if it was somebody...
And to be free from gunfire here and there. But
and to be free from gunfire here and there as well.
That seems to have gone by the board in the city recently.
There's a lot of that going on, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But the point is, I think if you compare this case with other cases, this is on the fringes and goes beyond. There are no specific articulable facts here beyond, really, the fact that the car was black and that the shots were fired within a reasonably short time previously. I think it was three and a half or four minutes earlier.
And they were at a distance that was not unreasonable to have reached from the time of the shooting.
Possibly. I mean, it's possible. They were a good distance from the location.
And that your use of the term possible is kind of important here when you're talking about the articulable suspicion that's necessary for a stop, right?
Yes, but it's unlikely that they would have made it that far. I mean, apparently they did because they had the gun. So, anyway, for all those reasons, we're asking this court to reverse the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Mr. Fleur?
May it please the court, my name is Philip Fleur and I am appearing on behalf of the United States. The district court did not commit error in denying the motion to suppress evidence in this case because there was reasonable suspicion for the investigatory stop. The vehicle was the same color as the one reported to have been involved in the nearby shooting. The vehicle stop occurred closely in time and location to the shooting, and the nature of the reported crime was serious. The police officers were investigating a report of shots fired in a dense urban area.
Now, this wasn't the only route that potential shooters could have taken from the reported scene of the shooting, was it?
No, Your Honor. There were several major thoroughfares in close proximity. To the south was North Avenue. To the north was Armitage. To the east was Pulaski. So could
police have stopped any black car on any of those streets?
If it was in close enough proximity to the location of the shooting and within a reasonable amount of time, yes, they could stop black vehicles that were proceeding away from the location, the site of the reported shootings, which was concentrated around the intersection of Karlov and Waubansia. So if it was within a reasonable amount of time and within a reasonable amount of distance from that location, yes, I believe the police could stop a black vehicle that they saw.
Now, your officers here had some credibility problems, it seems.
Yes, Your Honor. The district court did. The district court did not find them specifically. He didn't say that they were lying, but he did make several remarks about some of their testimony not being accurate. He also indicated that there was.
It's called padding the act. Make it sound padding the act. You like to add to the picture a little bit. It's an irresistible impulse.
Well, Your Honor, I think
lawyers do it occasionally when you ask them a question from the bench.
Well, Your Honor, I think that there were certain things that they might have confused with observing after the stop occurred with what happened, what they saw before. And
it blends all into one over lovely pattern.
Yes, and the important lens for assessing reasonable suspicion is what they knew at the time of the stop. And so the district court did essentially discount several components of their testimony about possibly seeing two males at the number of the number of doors in the vehicle was two, that it was a large vehicle. And essentially the district court was relying largely on the recording of the dispatch communications, which the district court found to be essentially the principal record of the communications and what was therefore in the officers' minds. And so while there are certain things that in their testimony that Judge Tinder that were not accurate on that basis, and the district court found them not to be accurate, they were still credible on the several key factors, and that namely that the vehicle was black, the general location that they recalled the shots having been fired from, that they received from the radio communications, as well as the general timing of their observation of this vehicle, which they observed to be proceeding away from the area where the shots were reported to have been fired. They were proceeding southbound on Costner. They just turned onto that street. The vehicle that they stopped was proceeding northbound, which was generally away from the location where the shots had been fired. And to put a finer point on the timing of this, Your Honors, it was 4 minutes and 10 seconds from the time that the first radio call went out to the time that they had actually stopped the vehicle and reported back over dispatch that they had stopped a black vehicle with a gun in it and that they had an individual in custody.
What time of day or night was this?
Your Honor, it was on a Sunday evening, and it was at 10:45 when the first report of shots fired went out. It was approximately 10:50 when the testifying officers reported back through dispatch that they had stopped the vehicle and that they had had an individual in custody and that there was a gun in the vehicle. So this was all occurring in a very, very short period of time. Now, the defendant has argued that this is not a very serious offense and that with the benefit now of hindsight and that this would just be a grave felony. Well, the officers didn't know that at the time. They didn't have the benefit of hindsight to know what the officers were shooting at, whether they had shot at an individual, whether they had shot at it just up in the air. They were reacting to the call. This, again, was a dangerous situation in a dense urban area. And on that basis, the district court also noted that there's essentially a sliding scale approach should be applied, that even if there wasn't as much suspicion as there might have been had the other components of the officer's testimony been accorded credit, that it was appropriate for them to stop this vehicle under the circumstances. Again, that this was a report of shots fired in a dense urban area.
Remind me again how heavy the traffic was.
Your Honor, both officers testified that traffic was light.
Sunday night,
one of the officers testified that he didn't see any vehicles after they received the first call of shots fired before they encountered the black vehicle. The other officer said that he recalled seeing one vehicle before they encountered the black vehicle. So,
and they did know there were two people in the car, according to the dispatcher.
No, Your Honor, the district court did not credit that testimony. There was one dispatch communication that referenced two individuals, but it appeared from the dispatch communications that those individuals were probably on foot. So the district court did not credit that testimony that there were that the radio communications had
two guys running north. Right?
Yes, Your Honor. And with regard to the direction that the vehicle was traveling, the defendant has sought to argue that there was radio communication that indicated the vehicle was going southbound. And among the many radio communications that were transmitted that night, there was one that indicated that a 911 caller had reported a vehicle going southbound. But again, this is in a part of the city where it'd be very easy for that vehicle to change its direction, reverse its course, and proceed northbound. And because of the light traffic conditions, still wind up in the location on Costner where the officers encountered the vehicle and conducted the investigatory stop. So in conclusion, there was reasonable suspicion for the officers to conduct this investigatory stop of the vehicle in which the defendant was traveling, and there was reasonable suspicion for the stop. Therefore, the search that followed, which the defendant is not challenging, was proper. And unless the court has further questions, I'll end by asking you to affirm the district court's denial of the defendant's motion to suppress evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? 3 minutes.
The problem with the government's argument is that it's clear from the testimony of the police officers that they did not know where these shots had been fired from. And they heard black car, they saw a black car, and they decided they were going to stop a black car. That's operating on nothing but a hunch. That is not articulable facts which can justify a stop. And yes, the traffic, the district court found that the traffic was light that night, solely based upon the self-serving testimony of the police. But it's clear there were other people about. This isn't some small town where everything was shut down for the night. This is a Chicago neighborhood where people are out and about. And if there was at least one other car, by the officer's admission, out on the street, there were other people out on the street. The fact that there was a black car and they didn't happen to see another one doesn't justify the stop in this case. And they weren't... They couldn't just stop any black car they saw anywhere in the area that night. It just gives them carte blanche to do whatever they want. And we would ask you to reverse the district court's decision. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel, you also were appointed in this case, were you?
Yes, sir.
Again, you have the thanks of the court for your representation of your client. Thank you.